Here we are live in Tucson. Anytime we're on the road, we are in our Rosie on the House Sanderson Ford Transit vehicle. It's a rolling billboard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. A billboard on wheels with lots of storage room. I love the fact that I can get in there and walk around, go through the stuff, go in and out without constantly ducking over and knocking my head on the top of the door. I love the stand-up space of that unit.
You know, every one of our partners that walks into it as well says the same thing. You know, a lot of them may have had an old van or something like that, like, you know, where you're crawling in or out. They're like, I can stand up. And with the aftermarket accessories and tool organizers
you can get.
It is a very efficient vehicle for the trade.
So, well, it's always encouraging when you're driving around that big billboard and you stop and people come up to you, you know, and they say, man, we appreciate. And I ask a lot of those people when they come up to me, I say, where are you buying your cars? And I had one person in particular. I was in Picacho and I pulled over to stop to get a fresh bottle of water out of the back. And I was way off the road, and he followed me. I thought, oh, boy, what do we got now? He says, I just want you to know that I live in Picacho, and I saw your van pulling over, and I just wanted you to know I drive to Glendale to buy my Fords from Sanderson Ford.
That's not that far of a drive.
No, it's not. People come from all over the country to buy their Fords at Sanderson Ford, right there in Glendale, one of the most award-winning Ford dealerships in all of America, number one Ford dealership in Arizona. And there's a reason for that, folks. And I don't know. I cannot remember how many Fords I've purchased from that dealership. But from the first one I ever bought, I've never shopped anywhere else. And if you'll go give them a try, I'm sure you'll find the same experience at Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue, south of Glendale, right on Maryland, 64 acres of some awfully beautiful Ford vehicles. And they're all headline-grabbing models. Ford Motor Company, Sanderson Ford.
Continuing our conversation about windows.
Well, you know, before we do that, you know how many calls we've gotten to ask, have we found a winner for the mystery sound yet? Let me give everybody a little backstory here. I don't know. It had to be a month ago that someone called us or sent us in the office an email with a video clip to it. And it was a builder who had a mystery sound in a brand new home that he had just moved some customers into it. And he sent us a recording of this mystery sound. We played the mystery sound on air. Let's see if we can listen to it again. Goes on all hours of the day and night. And of course, you know, it's located in the wall next to the master bedroom's headboard. So it's keeping the folks up all night long. We have a winner, is what I want to announce, that someone was able to identify what that sound was. But before I tell you the winner, we had information like they need to turn off everything in the house, including cable, satellite, then start turning everything back on one by one. If that doesn't work, maybe it's an attic exhaust fan. It can also be acoustic sound projected from the outside of the house. We had somebody say, it's the smoke detector. It's reached its end of its life expectancy. Then here's one, the missionary noise. I think it was supposed to be mystery noise. Somebody was on spell correct here. The missionary noise could be a drain issue in the house with water or air moving through drains. Here's one. Obviously, it's a ghost. Secret noise is roof rats. So we literally had dozens and dozens of suggestions. The number one suggestion was that it was in the ductwork, in the exhaust flaps of the exhaust vents. And it was the little protective flapping device that keeps backdrafts from coming in. But here's the winner, someone by the name of Nikolai. And I'll read you the answer. The sound is caused by the PEX water piping. The installer installed the PEX like it was copper pipe. When installing copper pipe, if the pipe is not well secured with straps to prevent the pipe from moving, you end up with water hammer sounds. When installing PEX pipe, on the other hand, you have to leave it loose to allow for expansion. Restraining it in places, it can be a problem. There's a very right and wrong way to install this. And I knew that, but I'd never had it create this noise. Well, when they opened the drywall up to try and determine what it was the PEX line hitting the ABS black soil plumbing vent line, which then was like a guitar string on the sound box of a guitar, amplifying the sound throughout the entire house. They open the sheetrock, they find that PEX banging against the ABS line, they correct it, problem solved, and homeowners sleeping, contractor, and Rosie are now more edified and informed about what that mic could be. So all I have is an email address and the name Nikolai. And Nikolai, I offered for anybody that could solve this, because I was completely stumped, that you would win an Arizona staycation. So we'll be reaching out to Nikolai and allowing them to visit. I don't know, Romy, if we're going to create one whole new staycation, or we just let them pick one of the ones we've already got planned for the year, but we'll figure all that out.
We'll get it figured out.
All right. Mystery sound solved. That's the power of Rosie on the House. You had a caller call in with a question. What was that? And you can call in if you'd like. 1-888-767-4348. That text on filling the swimming pool, they wanted to fill in the swimming pool. Is there a way to fill an in-ground swimming pool?
A Rosie?
Yes.
Actually, he wants to know the best way to handle removing that swimming pool in-ground.
It actually requires a permit to remove a swimming pool, in-ground swimming pool. And it's, you pull it through the county, and there's actually very specific rules that you have to go through. You have the swimming pool around the top where the tile is has a collar there of rebar that goes all the way around it, and we fill that collar with concrete, and it's called the collar tie, and it holds the top of the pool together as the weight of the water, the hydro pressure, is trying to push the walls of the pool out. Okay, so number one is we have to eliminate all the decking. Then we have to bust the gunite and this plaster down. I believe it's 2.5 or 3 feet. Have to be completely cracked and crumbled. That gets rid of the collar tie, and that takes the concrete below normal digging levels. But before you do all that, you have to take a jackhammer and get in the bottom of that swimming pool and bust holes in the bottom. And then you can literally collapse all of that concrete, plaster, and stucco and gunite into the bottom of that hole, and then you finish backfilling it with ABC, and you have to compact it and do it correctly so you don't end up with a big sinkhole back there. But you don't want to cut the pool off, remove the decking, and just throw a bunch of dirt in there. You will be dealing with a significant and substantial and expensive problem to fix in the future. So jackhammering those holes in the bottom to allow any water that's leaching through the soil to allow itself to continue leaching out and not sitting in there is a key, and it does require a permit.
And there is an alternative in just retiring your pool that one of our
partners
offers.
That's true, very true.
It's a company and process called Deckover, and they just build a deck that goes over your pool completely flush, so there's no steps or bumps to catch your toe on. It's a perfect transition from the decking material to a wood platform that you can then do whatever you want on top of. They do put a sump pump at the bottom and pump water out when it does rain. They just use the existing drain of the pool that they lead that line into. And then that way, one, it's faster and cheaper than
it is
demoing a pool. And then if you're ever going to sell the pool, you've got that.
You could save it. You could bring it back.
Absolutely. It's a lot cheaper to then bring it out of retirement than building a whole new pool, because the hole's already there, the gunite's already there, and you don't need to start from scratch. So it can be a selling advantage later down the road if you ever want to move the home. It may not have a pool. It's got a pool in retirement that can be brought out. And if that's a pool is somebody's tipping point on whether they're going to buy a house or not, that could help you. And if they don't want a pool, well, it's already in retirement, so that doesn't really go against you.
Deck over. Jeff's been a Rosie certified partner. I don't know. It's got close to 10, 15 years.
Probably closer to 15, yeah.
Now, Rosie, I have a follow-up question. My name's Gary. Thanks for listening.
Gary D.
Yeah. Okay, so I had an in-ground pool, and I decided to have it completely removed. Now,
okay.
So there's two ways you could do it. Completely remove it, and you're done, and fill in with dirt.
Yes.
If you have the other option to just break it down and bury it, you need to have documentation if you sell the house that there's a buried, broken pool in the ground, correct? Is that a state law?
Yeah, I believe that's true. That is true. And that's a part of the permitting process. They want it on record at your title company that it's there.
Got it. So, and that's why I decided to go for
complete removal.
Yeah. Now, the two houses next to me had to experience an earthquake when it happened, but they were okay with it.
Some heavy equipment required if they can get into your backyard for complete concrete removal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a lot of
4.5 on the Richter scale in the backyard of my house.
Man, oh man. So that's answering a question that came in by phone at 1-888-767-4348. We'll take your call as well. If you'd like to give us a ring, we'll take the call, get your name, answer the question as quick as we can. We're talking windows primarily almost all month of February. And today we're talking about
March.
Thank you. Yeah, it is March. February is painting. The do's and don'ts of window care is the topic for today. Cleaning and lubricating window tracks, frames, and rollers. And a lot of people make the mistake of using oils when they're trying to lubricate their rollers and whatnot. And that is a big, big problem.
Like WD-40 or something of that.
I'm a lube this up really good so it slides really, really easy.
It has its time and place, but that's not a great application for... It's a mechanical.
There's a very specific spray lubricant that's Teflon-based that you're going to use on any rollers of your sliding doors and windows. Never use a petroleum oil-based product. It'll cause a lot more problems than it's worth. And the other thing a lot of people do is they start getting a little compulsive, and they get outside and they start with a little toothbrush and they're cleaning those sliding rails and the tracks of the system, and they see these little holes in the window frame and they think, man, what is that for? I better seal that up, keep the bugs from getting in the house. And don't do that. Those holes are there for a very, very specific reason. When the sprinklers or the rain hits the outside of your window, the water runs down the outside face of the window frame. It has to have a way to get out. And if you, those are called weep holes. You plug the weep holes, the water's going to start backing up into your house. And that's where you end up with those soggy window sashes and window stained sashes. So more on doors and windows right after this from Rosie on the house.